You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Now, there are a million places I'd like to start this show. However, I saw some online feedback and word reached me on how yesterday's show went, which after that Heat performance, we were obsessing over a cupcake for a while. So I've learned. I was alerted to YouTube comments that came for Heat tears, and they didn't really get them. And I don't think they're going to get them today because Jeremy's in. And I've already been sandblasted with propaganda from him. So let's just get this out of the way. Jeremy Taché, and I know you're probably not the biggest fan of how I just lobbed this one up.
Don't love it.
Yeah, but I am grateful for you in many ways because by comparison, I'm the likable Heat fan on the show now, which is an amazing face turn for me. I am rooting for the Miami Heat to lose tonight. However, I also was rooting for the Miami Heat to lose in this exact spot.
To the same team.
To the same team. However, it wasn't the exact spot because Jimmy Butler is out. And he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I saw online. Maybe that's conjecture. But Jimmy Butler is out. And I think part of me wants Miami to win this game because then you go into a Boston Celtics series with nothing to lose. Everything to gain. Amazing night spent listening to WEEI is what you have to gain. If the Miami Heat manage to get one of those first two games, it's all worth it. But I will bring you in here because I want the Miami Heat to be smacked in the face today with a resounding, definitive message that says it's time to recognize what you're doing right now cannot continue. The plan of having Jimmy Butler be your best offensive player, you got two Eastern Conference championships out of it. Congrats to you in the face of many odds. You maximized this roster, but you failed to get players that would have improved this team. And you need to work towards that. Jeremy, the floor is yours.
I think that if you were going to have issue with a cupcake being eaten, then Valerie's name probably should have been on the box.
Should have been.
That's probably what should have happened. And I just think the fact that it wasn't, and then there was screaming that was happening in the other room, it's asinine, honestly, if you ask me.
I'm a little uncomfortable turning it into content, quite honestly. I thought it was a bad look all around.
I actually said that in the pre-production meeting and got shouted over.
I don't know what meeting you're referring to.
That being said, when it comes to the Heat, look, I understand your complaints, and I think a thing that's totally fair, one misrepresentation that happened earlier this week was acting like Heat Twitter is like me. It's not.
No.
I'm the positive one.
Yeah, it's not?
No, most of
really?
Heat Twitter...
Maybe I'm chewed up in your algo just
yeah.
because I'm close to the... We operate off the same Wi-Fi router.
Yeah.
But I am really bummed at the tone that Heat Twitter has taken. It used to be a far more miserable place.
I think that you're missing the misery. If you really dive in there, there's still a lot of misery. And throughout this season, many fans being asked to be put out of their misery. A lot of them commiserating with you in the same feelings about Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Now, those fans were looking at Terry Rozier's season and having a different reaction than
you did. I enjoyed Kyle Lowry giving the middle finger to Bam
underneath his jersey. Yeah.
I did kind of, because I don't like what Heat fandom has become, I kind of popped for Kyle Lowry doing that a little bit.
Sure.
Which is weird, because you know how much I dislike Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, you're all tied up in some very interesting emotions these days.
Jeremy, here's where I'm at. I think Jimmy Butler has fallen off the cliff that we all feared was coming. Like, when he signed the contract, Tibbs minutes, the whole thing, and he proved me wrong spectacularly time and time again. He had the lasting image from that bubble finals. What he did against Milwaukee, Tony and I were just slack-jawed watching those highlights, seeing Jimmy Butler have so much lift in his legs, and this was just last year. He's changed as a player. He's definitely aged. And I think generally what is really happening with me, Jeremy, is I think after all this time, I want to celebrate the relationship that I've had with Bam Adebayo and the discussion and the debate, but I'm tired. I'm just tired of having the Bam talks, and I know we're on the precipice of another big Bam legacy game. This dude is a fully formed pro.
Yeah, he is.
At this point, this is a ridiculous conversation to keep having.
I think the perception on Bam from your end is a different one than what I have. To me, what Bam did against the Sixers, given the offensive limitations of the team in terms of just getting him the ball, right? Tyler Hero was the only playmaker. What he did defensively against Embiid and bothering him was huge, right? Nobody stops Embiid, and he really made him have an inefficient game on the offensive end.
I'm also
and by
tired
the way,
of that discussion
Joel
too.
Embiid is a great defender,
I'm also tired of touting what he does defensively.
Well, but that's just so.
I
so what you
he's
have
a
is just
player. I have Bam fatigue.
Yeah, you just have fatigue of this group. You're just tired.
Yeah,
and
I think
so
it's time for a change. I think
right, but
I think
time
it's
for a change when you're
good
having
enough.
Success. Like so, and this not good enough. Element. I get it. There's a look, it's the Riley quote, right? There's winning and there's misery,
yeah.
Right? And so you want to win championships.
I'm a byproduct of this culture that I helped create, Jeremy, and I'm miserable.
I do think that when you look at this era of Miami Heat basketball, the last 4 years, now 4.5 years, it'll be 5 years either after tonight or
that's how time works
in a week. This era is probably the second best era in Miami Heat history behind the big three. You've now...
Yeah, because they have the banners to show for it. I would say that the Zoe Timmy teams were better.
It's influential. And you could
better.
Even argue, obviously, because they won a championship with Shaq and Wade, but that was just such
that
a small run.
Yeah, that is weird. NBA doesn't typically work like that,
right.
Flash in the pan, and then they immediately fell off.
Right.
Honestly, if anybody wants to... I know there's a lot of people complaining about the Jimmy Butler injury. If you want to look at the Heat's history in terms of impactful injuries... It doesn't crack like top three because this team doesn't have a legitimate shot to win the title. You have Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo in the bubble getting injured. And I do think that that does change the series somewhat. And also you have Dwayne Wade in game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals with a rib injury that severely hampered his ability to get lift on his shot against the Detroit Pistons.
Guys, we're very divided right now. Can I bring us back together and let's laugh at the Pacers and the Magic? Because we can all agree right now the Heat, it looks bad.
It's
in terms
bad.
Of championship odds, like winning the entire thing
yeah.
without Jimmy.
Without Jimmy.
The Heat currently have better odds to win the title than the Pacers
that's amazing.
And
that,
the Magic.
That's everybody being afraid that Spo's going to paint a masterpiece.
But
because
there is something
Spo,
to right.
Spo's a sicko.
But Mike,
he loves this,
I think
by the
he
way.
Low-key loves
but
I,
yeah.
this situation.
But Mike, but that, I think this speaks volumes. As much as you want to complain.
It does.
The Heat are still like respected. This team has respect.
Don't get it twisted. I'd much rather be us than the Pacers. And yes, I use us. I am a Heat fan. I could be tired of Jeremy Taché and Ryan Cortez and this Heat team and this roster and still generally want this team to succeed. I think the best path for success is to have a tough breakup. And that tough breakup may come with Jimmy Butler. We need to reevaluate that. We need to look at Bam, especially if Bam does. Here's what I think Bam is going to do.
He's going to play his entire career on the Miami Heat.
I think Bam is going to take a nice hard look at all those Mike McDaniel quotes that he has in his locker.
I thought he was going to look in the mirror when you were first talking.
No, because he's got all these inspirational quotes in his locker about being assertive. And I do think Bam is going to come out with the mindset that I got to get my shots up. This is my time. This is the team that I do it against.
Would have been great last game.
But I'm worried he's going to do the Bam thing where he just gets shots up to get shots up and there's no arc on these shots and he's basically shot putting these hook shots from the lane just to show everybody that he's capable of actually shooting it.
Can I take a quick victory lap? What was the end result of the Nick Batum?
Jess was right.
Violation?
They did not call it on the 2-minute report that Nick Batum pushed Tyler Hero in the back. Congratulations,
he clearly
Jessica.
Did.
He absolutely did.
The arm
did
was fully.
That's a bad job by Tyler. You got to sell that.
There's
sell
no
it.
Way that you can be that close to the half court line.
Yes,
no,
it is.
No,
that's it.
That period. That's the pressure. And actually, give the Sixers credit. And actually, where you give Kyle Lowry credit is that their defensive scheme changed late in that game, in part because Kyle understood, hey, if you put a ton of pressure on the Heat guards, especially if it's just Hawkes and Hero handling the ball, they're going to have difficulties with it. That's the part that's interesting about tonight's game.
Yeah.
Is now...
Is there anything interesting about tonight's game?
Well, if you're looking at it from a Heat perspective...
The fact that there's an entire roster construction...
The Bulls
could
be in the playoffs.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, I want to get the Bulls' perspective in a moment, but I do think that this game... does have some relatively huge significance, and it's not just about punching a ticket into the postseason. Right. It's about what you do with this roster, because if you get eliminated tonight, despite the injury to Jimmy Butler, who looks like a different player and has since the NBA Finals of last year, and this is a really devastating injury for him to suffer when you've been careful with his body, so he'd be fresh for this. And he essentially got hurt by not going straight up to the cup like he would have against the Milwaukee Bucks last year. I understand going to the free throw line.
The pump fake was crazy. No reason to pump
fake
there.
No reason whatsoever.
Zero reason to pump fake.
Dude, that is aging.
What is happening?
No, but it's true. I would have said that yesterday. We didn't talk about it.
The injury is a byproduct of his game changing because of his age. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether Twitter wants to acknowledge it or not, Jimmy Butler acknowledged it with his decision to not go straight up.
Mike's pointing right now.
He's right. He's absolutely right. 100%.
I just think that, first of all, when we talk about drawing fouls in games like this where you're already trying to muck it up, Embiid was lauded by everybody, including the broadcast, for his ability to draw fouls. Jimmy Butler does a lot of the same thing in his game. But it's fair to say.
The questioning of the pump fake is the most Monday morning quarterback thing ever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I questioned it when it happened.
He pump fakes so much.
Right, he doesn't
make the
layup.
Just make the layup. To me, it's in the class with Ben Simmons not making that. Not taking that layup. Him not going straight up. You're in a tight game. To not get the two when that guy was dunking all over the place against the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm sorry. It's in that class. He got hurt because he pump faked because he wanted to go to the line. There's 2 points right there. How many points do you get from the line? Two. Best case scenario. Two.
One.
Well,
best case scenario, you make the first, you miss it. I understand. But he's going to the line for two. You got two easy ones right there by just going straight up. We're trying to get Kelly Oubre in foul trouble.
But now without Jimmy, the space that they're in is an interesting one, right? Because in the second half of their game against the 76ers, the offense was entirely predictable. It was put the ball in Tyler's hands. He only ran a couple of actions, and basically he was left to try to improvise and figure it out. Now, with a couple of days to prep, it's about how the Heat will replace Jimmy Butler, and it's likely on the offensive end going to come from a couple of their really young players, a rookie in Jaime Jaquez Jr., who's the only other player on the team who can operate out of the mid-post, and Nikola Jovic, who... he's the guy that has really sparked this offense a lot throughout the season. The reason that I hope that they're able to get to the next round, aside from the fact that, maybe get to be a part of a broadcast, is the fact that you get to see what those guys, what Tyler Hero, what Nikola Jovic, what Jaime Jaquez Jr. look like going up against the best team in your conference as a measuring stick going forward.
Showcasing assets, potentially, to finally improve this team where the front office has failed. We can be kind and say they didn't get these guys, or you can be a little bit more coarse and say that they failed.
Jovic and Jaquez had good seasons.
Yeah, and they're pieces of the future. I mean, Jovic is clearly your starting
four. We all know the NBA is going to collude to dilute their actual value in terms of trade. We all know that's going to happen.
It's happening?
It's happened already. Jess, I see you smiling the entire
time. Wait, the NBA is working against the Heat?
Oh, I mean, it was very clear.
I mean, they always are. But that's very clear. Part of the show for
very clear.
Years.
I have a question.
Tony Brothers, man.
You want them to blow up the team, you said, right?
Yes, I do. I don't
think
the
team's good enough. But do you trust this front office to fix the problem?
I must. I trust the front office.
Must you?
I must.
What if Bam is the solution and you bring in a new front office?
Guys.
Jeremy, your thoughts on them replacing the front office?
Bam is not the solution.
Bam is not.
What if he could be the solution? Jeremy, if you had to fix the Heat, would you replace the players or the front office? Jeremy.
Wow. What are you doing?
I'm just asking the questions around here.
The solution doesn't put up nine shots in a pivotal game.
To answer your question directly, Billy, I have more faith in the front office figuring it out, even though they have failed and put this head coach, who I rate immensely, in a difficult spot time and time again with their failures. Some of that's collusion. Some of that's their own ego. But I do have faith in them figuring it out more than I have faith in this current roster getting a year older and getting to that final stop on the mountain, the summit. I just don't see it in today's NBA landscape. Dude, they're not even good enough right now. They're in a play-in for the final playoff spot in the East.
They have enough. Where they were last year.
I understand. Exactly right. But
we have enough.
With a healthy Jimmy Butler.
Dude,
sometimes teams just need adversity, you know?
They were three games away from being a three seed.
Yeah, that's right.
I have more faith in the Heat than the Bulls.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the Bulls, if they do make the playoff, will have had the worst record, I believe, since 2004 of an Eastern Conference playoff.
The
team.
Bulls have the longest odds in the entire league to win the championship.
They also have the hottest hand.
Yeah.
It also, like, right. the report is Jimmy's out a couple weeks. Like, that could be game two of the first round with the NBA schedule.
That's an argument for it. I think the overriding argument for winning today, not just because you love your team, is with this situation as presently constituted, with Jimmy being hurt, it's a no-lose scenario against the Boston right. Celtics. You lose, you throw your hands up. What do you expect us to do? You got lucky. And every Celtics fan, whether they want to admit it into a microphone or not, and I know holier than thou, Mike, sure, it would probably push back on this notion, but every single one of them was happy. Every single
Well, he
one.
Was claiming that Jimmy was faking it.
Well,
and
no.
now he'll be happy.
I will not betray Mike Schur in the way that you just did.
No, the entire internet, all of Boston Celtics fans were claiming that he was faking it.
I kind of thought that he was embellishing a little bit, too.
Can we pull up that meme that was going viral yesterday for being the worst meme in the history of Heat Twitter? Mike Ryan, if you...
I don't know what you're talking
if you
about.
You indeed invent Heat Twitter, this is your fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
All it's right. a Celtics logo, and it says, quote, "What's the point in making the finals to not win?" And then the Heat logo says, "Y'all literally can't make it, and when y'all did, y'all lost in 2002, so question mark.
Too wordy.
2022. It's fine.
Sorry, 2022. What did I say?
2002.
It's a real bad meme. It's a real bad
meme. Yeah, it's really one of the worst things
I've
ever seen.
I've read it, and I still don't really know what they mean by
you
it.
You know what would make this meme a lot better? I'm going to come out and say it. A horse would make all the Heat memes much, much better.
Or butthole eyes for the Celtic.
Butthole eyes yeah. for the Celtic.
There's a Mavericks. Third panel with a horse and it's just like a horse doing a horse noise.
Yeah, but it's just it's a flaccid horse
Nay.
Penis.
Yeah.
Granted, it's always been. There's a lot to discuss today, and I think we'll stop the Heat conversation for now, because my guess is we're going to be talking Heat next week, too.
My guess is we're not going to be talking Heat after today.
I hope to God.
You don't think so?
No.
Did you see
we'll be talking Panthers now.
Do you think Dan will avoid a postmortem?
Yeah,
depends. Do any more cupcakes get stolen in the next 72 hours?
I mean, he kind of...
Big win for you yesterday.
That was huge.
Was it?
Yeah, you were immensely popular.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, Dan didn't paint his... side of it in the best. The blaming Amazon truck drivers for stealing packages was a really bad place to start.
Yeah.
Man, we all kind of fear it, though. We've all seen the Ring videos.
I've never thought someone's opened a box, taken things out of my box, closed the box back up, and then left.
The drivers, like, pee in water bottles because they don't have time to use
He's like, does this happen a lot to you guys? I was like, that's honestly never happened to me.
I mean, I'll get sometimes it says something was delivered and it's not there, but it's there, like, an hour later.
Or it's delivered to a different house and I just figure it out.
Yeah.
That's happened to me.
Is that my package?
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Dan Le Batard.
Teammates can't shoot from three. Now they're gonna see a different Jimmy. Now he's just playing Nickelback in the locker room. And
Stugatz.
They'll play D and shoot threes as they chase the Nets for the sixth seed. These five words in his head scream, are we winning games yet?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I have another house in my neighborhood with the same address, but I'm on a North Street. They're on a South Street. So we are, once a week, we're making trips over to the house. Like, here you go.
Really? You go to the other house?
No,
and give them
I do. Like, if I have their package, I'll
have
drop
you become
it
friends?
I mean, I wouldn't say friends, but we're definitely friendly.
Hmm.
I don't know when you cross that bridge from friendly to friends, but
it's a good question.
We're getting there.
Phone what numbers? Is it?
Do you hang out separate
Never.
From giving each other packages?
Never.
Then you're not friends.
Yeah.
You're just friendly.
Yeah.
Do you text?
Never.
Nope. Hmm.
This is just a package exchange.
Yeah.
Do you ever go out and think, what if the person with my same address, like, they might like this? Maybe I should invite them to do this thing? I have people that I've thought, hey, I'm doing this thing. Should I invite X, Y? It's even gotten to the
How
point.
How long does that say in your mind? Because I guarantee you don't actually invite them.
Well, no, here's the thing. Like, I'll walk you through this because I've thought about it for, you know, people that I text with, whatever. I'm like, you know, I don't go out much. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a man about town. I'm not. I go out sporadically at best. So I went out for St. Patrick's Day this year, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out. It wasn't St. Patrick's Day because that was a Sunday. It's a school night. So I went out the Saturday before.
Okay.
But I went
out.
You
went to the Gables?
I did.
Whoa.
I did, yeah. And I was at actual John Martin's. I've never actually been to John Martin's. I didn't know there was a second floor. I wish I would have gone to the second floor sooner. There were so many fewer people up there. Uh-huh. Very crowded
it's
downstairs.
It's fancier now.
It's also exhausting going out, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like when I was at John Martin's and I saw all the, you know, the all that goes into going out and
is
like.
A pub?
It is.
It used to be more of a pub. Now it's kind of gone high end.
I don't know. There's people there, and there's like, drinking involved, and there's young
Irish
people and old
choice.
People. I think that young and old.
You just described a lot of places. You're well, like, there's young people there, old people.
Well, because I don't go out.
There.
I'm telling you, this is just my experience going out to a place.
That is
I was
the
at
Gables.
The I was at the bar later. Actual the bar,
yeah,
not the
bar.
Bar at John Martin.
Love that place.
There's a sign that had my autograph on it.
That's embarrassing.
People send pictures of me sometimes. That I know how they got it. They got that when we did the show at Blackbird because it's the same owner. Owns Blackbird and the bar. So we signed something.
The mini
for,
boss?
Yeah.
The night
that
Stugatz,
was Jess's like first
when
event,
they,
right?
When Stugatz walked up to the bouncer and was like, I'm Stugatz. And the guy was like, what?
My wife got assaulted at that. Thanks.
That was a loud night. Oh. Our VIP area was like right by the speaker.
Taylor was there as a fan.
As a fan.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I remember like trying to like navigate that. Get away. And he kept popping up.
Yeah.
Still popping up.
As he does,
day.
Yeah.
Singing songs
I don't
about
know that
Jalen
he actually
Brunson.
Works here.
Jalen.
It's so good.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
What was your story?
Okay, so so I went out, to John Martin's for St. Patrick's Day, and I'm wondering if you've run into this situation where, like, so I know I'm going out that day, but who do I want to go out with? It's a big question. Mm-hmm. So then do I text people like, hey, you want to, you know, go out like, hey, you know, we text sometimes. I'm gonna go to this thing. What are you gonna do? And like, I remember specifically telling my wife, like, I'm not gonna mention any names. I'm like, hey, you know, like, I'm gonna go out. I'm thinking of texting, you know, this guy because you know we text from time to time. If he wants to kind of, you know, him and his wife want to go and kind of hang out with us. And she's like, why would you do that?
You guys,
you're friends with that person like that? I'm like, I don't know. We text sometimes. Isn't that how friendships work? You just text someone and you're like, you want to go hang out? Like, I don't know.
You married your mirror image.
I mean, I'm going to be the first one.
You're feeling a little bit frisky and she brings you back down
to Gilliland. I'm going to cry. There has to be an initial text to hang out, right? Yeah.
And that's how it works. You nailed it.
I was going to initiate that.
It's always risky to send
it. This is how friendship works, Billy.
Someone has to send it.
Well, I'm learning, so I was going to. Story ends with me not doing that. I didn't end up texting the person because my wife shamed me and was like, you want to be friends? And to be honest with you, had I crossed that barrier, I do wonder if that would have led to more invitations to go out than I would not have participated in, ruining the friendship. So it's probably good that we didn't cross that barrier because it would have just led to disappointment if there was the expectation of this is a friendship now. We're going to start hanging out because, as previously mentioned, I'm not a man about town. So I'm not one that goes out a lot. So if this leads to the person then inviting me a lot and then it's, you know, a lot of no's, then they'd be mad at me and then maybe that would end our texting relationship.
I can't believe how many future scenarios you're running through just for like
one always. Night out. Yeah. No, my mind is like your own destination book.
What if we have a good time? And that opens up a whole new.
Well, that's the worst case scenario.
What if we make
if we have a bad time, it's good. If we have a bad time, it's good because it's the last time this has to happen. If we have a good time,
then you have to do it again.
This leads to more engagements and more responsibilities on my end.
More good times.
Social responsibilities. Good times are.
This is why we need to have a show game night.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's a great topic. We should talk about that on Mystery Crate.
I'll bring it up.
There's a new Taylor Swift album, and is she doing the thing where we all call it a new album, but it's an old album that she re-recorded?
No, it's actually a new album.
It's an actual,
songs.
Okay, great, cool. Awesome. Yeah. How many songs?
I think there's like 30. It's a double album.
Apparently it's a double album. And Mike, Jeremy and I discovered right as we went live that there may be a reference to Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, this is huge news. In the song The Alchemy, there is a lyric in the chorus that says, "So when I touch down, call the amateurs and cut them from the team."
I don't think that's about Kadarius Toney.
I think she means like touch down with her private jet.
Yeah. Why are you ruining the fun?
Did she mention the fast switch energy drink player of the week? Yeah.
Or I'll scroll through and find out. We'll see.
Don Lebatard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps, you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content. And in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
A bit of a catch-22 in that we had to do the heat talk. There were people angry at us for not doing the heat talk. People come to us, and I really love our local audience. People come to us for that local coverage. But I promise you, that'll be it for heat talk, and we'll begin having fun with this show. There was a GM that farted. I'm being told this right now. And I already don't want to play this video, Chris, because typically whenever there is a suspicious noise that people allege is a fart, it's never an actual fart.
Orlovsky had this happen on McAfee. It was clearly a windshield wiper.
Yeah.
This one feels real to me. I'm with you. I'm kind of over the, oh, that was a noise. He apologizes. I don't want to spoil it here, but let's play this clip.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
That wasn't an excuse me for the fart, though.
It might have been a tummy. It could have been a tummy growling. Yeah. It's definitely a body noise.
Yeah,
no chair. We'll play it again.
Let's run it back.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
That was a facial twitch,
too. There is.
Could that be an inner fart?
A throat gargle?
Inner fart?
Yeah.
Inner fart.
A throat fart.
What?
What's an inner fart?
An inner fart. When you hold a fart, but then it kind of goes in your tummy.
Is that your tummy growling?
Yeah, an inner fart.
Dan does these throat farts sometimes where something gets stuck in
the gargle.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Can we watch it again? An inner fart? Is that an option?
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
An inner fart.
A classic inner fart.
I don't know if that's an inner fart or a throat fart.
No, it doesn't look like a throat fart.
It's not an outer fart, I don't think. Or do you think, one more time, because contextually...
Or seven more times.
The excuse me could have been
for what
he was talking about.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
A mid-sentence. You don't generally stop mid-sentence for an inner fart.
Yeah.
And then say excuse me afterwards.
Yeah, I thought maybe excuse me made sense in the sentence that he was saying prior to, but
if we listen to the fart isolated, it sounds like a fart. It doesn't sound
like a traditional outer fart.
I'm efforting to get the sound.
He didn't even lift, though.
He does seem to be clenching.
The
shoulders never dip. If you put a level on his shoulders, they don't move.
Good pad level on it.
But that's why the sound comes out, because you got to lift so that the sound doesn't happen.
No, but he's holding, which is why he's clenched, but then the fart goes back up, and then the inner fart happens.
Wait, is his body telling you that he's clenching? Let's run it back one more time.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Yeah, that's a
hold. Classic hold inner fart.
Okay, I think it's throat fart.
Is an inner fart a real thing?
Yeah, I've never heard this.
What is
you've
an inner
never,
fart?
You've never like had one on the precipice of the bun hole,
and then it goes up and makes a
noise. That's because it's gas. Never.
Literally, what is what happens?
That's an inner fart.
I don't think it works that way. I don't think it's a sound entity that's just moving throughout your body, waiting to make
Tony
the sound somewhere.
That's gas.
Mike and I are talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah, you guys are gonna.
All right, I got it isolated here. That's a fart.
Wait, one more time? Okay, so there's an exhale.
Here's a little more context to it.
Sit down and go, excuse me, go on.
Wouldn't the fart sound when it's coming out be caused by, you know, how it's leaving your body? I don't want to say butthole, but wouldn't it be caused
just
by like
just
your butt and your cheeks? Like,
what's
isn't that what leaves? Yeah, but you don't have an inner butt.
No, but the
like,
gas.
Like, so if the gas goes the other way, there's the not like a pair rectum, of hams, I mean, inside of you that are like, you know what I mean?
You're saying that the fart noise comes from the cheeks vibrating.
That's what Billy's accusing, yes.
Well, and like the hole, you know, there's not, you don't have an inner butthole.
One more time,
with
Chris,
cheeks, so how?
Well, technically,
up,
you do have an inner butthole.
You
have a rectum.
You do not have,
yeah,
an
you
inner
do have an inner butthole, you have inner farts. All right, so he breathes in. We can rule out throat fart. Because a throat fart happens while you're talking, not while you're breathing.
There
in.
Wouldn't be a breath before.
There wouldn't be a breath before. So I think we've deduced inner fart.
There's a very important conversation happening,
yeah,
here.
I think
off
we need to get to the bottom.
It's just anatomy.
Just
anatomy 101. That's all it, yeah, is. All right.
Well, bring go it to on. Air. Go on. Bring it to air.
I don't know what to. I don't know what to do with any of
she
this.
She shook my inner fart.
I don't know what
it's
an inner fart is.
Classic.
You've never had a fart that you're like, can't have that, and your body just kind of adjusts, and the gas goes back in. Oh, you guys sound foolish. You do sound foolish. There's inner farts. The gas is trapped.
Chris,
it's trying to find its way out.
And it has to go
you
somewhere.
You guys were... You just acted like
you're
it was something...
You're talking about buttholes about. Back here.
Just saying.
You're the one who said it.
We're talking about whether there's a beehole on the inside of you as well.
Look, I went to Catholic school. Don't ask me about anatomy questions.
That's an inner fart. You've never suffered an inner fart where
never,
you're
my,
like, I can't let this one out. I've, gotta pinch it back in.
That noise has never happened like inside of me.
I still think this is like one of
growled.
Those Dan Le Batard throat gargles.
But he breathes in simultaneously. That's impossible.
No, but you don't think that anatomy. You don't think he could be moving on the seat causing
he breathed in
that
by where?
Other sound.
That's an inner fart. Stamp it.
I think his butt lungs were breathing.
Yeah. I can do that like a turtle.
What?
I do need to issue an apology to the audience. And I'm always so angry at Dan for spoiling shows. And I just missed one. And this is truly a sincere apology. We were talking about the Bluey finale. They put out two bonus episodes. Tearjerker, really emotional stuff. And I love Bluey. I've been on record. Bluey is out of all the... There's so much bad children's television. Bluey is heads and shoulders the best. The best male influence going on television right now. Model dad. And we talked openly about the Bluey finale. And a lot of people got legitimately upset that I spoiled an episode. And spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. I was referencing the part where Bandit takes a for sale sign out of the yard, and
how, oh no, oh I didn't see it.
Now Roy's upset.
Oh. I gave.
But he's I know. I'm upset about the situation. I'm not upset about the spoiler.
That spoiler alert. That? No. But the alert you give is for people who have the ability to fast forward 15 or pause it. Roy's sitting.
He never
right
at once.
Like, how's Roy supposed to avoid that spoiler?
No. He can put two fingers in ears.
No.
He can give me a look that says, "Don't spoil this
again,
for me."
I'm not upset about the spoiler. Huh. I'm upset about that situation. They're doing that. Oh, that's
you wanted him to move?
No, I didn't want him to move.
Spoiler alert.
They stay.
Hold on a second. Whoa, come on, man. I still haven't even seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, no.
Two very different shows, but we'll talk about Giancarlo Esposito in a second. So, Bluey is a tremendous show, and it's a little creepy to watch it without kids. I wouldn't recommend that, but if you're a young parent, especially.
Hold on. You're apologizing to whom?
I made people genuinely mad.
But whom?
A lot of people in my mentions.
But like people, like grown people?
Grown people with children.
Who cares? Who cares about grown people getting a kid's show spoiled for them?
I mean, you can have that.
You're half-ass watching anyway.
Okay, we can have the
not this show
attitude about everything, but I, especially for me, someone that gets angry and frustrated with Dan when he's constantly spoiling things. He ruins Succession.
Shiv.
Yeah, he ruins Succession. Outside of Breaking Bad, probably the best show, the best drama of the last 15 years. And he just totally ruined it hours removed from it. And it kind of diluted the experience for me. As someone that's been on the receiving end of that, I am sincerely sorry. No joke, Not a play. I know we have characters going around this thing, and it's all fun and games. But really, genuinely sorry that I ruined that episode of Bluey for you, because you needed to know whether or not they moved. Even also, you didn't know that was even a plot line. If you hadn't watched it, you might as well like watch. It's about the journey, not about the end. It's about that moment.
So, Mike, would you say you blew it?
Jeremy, I am. Do you go away if the Bulls win tonight?
just away from the show forever.
Is that an option?
I mean, I would think we get more of Jeremy if the heat season ends, because he'll have more time.
Yeah, I'll be around.
Yeah,
I'll be around. I'll be here with plenty of time to do anything you guys like me to do.
But he'll be around talking about the Heat. It's a good thing to have. Like, for me personally, the counterbalancing your act with mine, it helps me. And it also makes me realize that I used to be that for the listening audience.
Act? I don't.
And I now receive it a lot better. So I want to thank you.
So you're around so that Mike looks good.
Generally. I appreciate all of that.
Do you get a ring if the Heat go on a run and
would.
Win?
You know, would. I think I would, yeah.
You would.
Wow, that
you
sounds
would.
Like
and you deserve it, by the way.
Media.
Thank
so
you.
That's I think why you're exceptional don't... on television. I like you. As a person on air. You change a little bit and you amplify some more annoying aspects of your personality, but I do like you, and I do root for your teams to be successful, just not this one.
I think
this a situation where like we can say this about Jeremy, but like no one else can say this about Jeremy?
Don't come after Jer Barrett. Like, I
Thanks,
can do
guys.
That. Yeah. No, I get very... I think you're a talent kid.
Because I would be meaner to you on air if I knew that people would be nice to you off air.
Yeah, they're not, but thank you.
Exactly. So I reserve myself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tony doesn't.
There's a big fight happening
what?
This weekend.
Jeremy, if I could give you any advice, it would be steal a cupcake, and the perception of you will change yeah. immensely one day to the next.
Screamed at by someone.
That's a move.
Just steal from Dan's assistant.
That's a move. That's a move.
Steal.
Tony, to borrow a phrase from you, I've been following the fight game tangentially.
Yeah.
Just exclusively through IG reels and social media clips and what gets thrown in the group chat. And I've been alerted over the last few months to this Ryan Garcia character, who appears to be having a full-on mental health breakdown right in front of our eyes. And Ryan Garcia is a boxer of repute, Golden Boy Promotions, hell of a mentor he's picked out for himself.
Yeah, right.
And is this legit? Because I watch these videos and it feels legit. It feels like someone's going through it. Someone that might also, other fighters accuse him of drug use. I mean, the signs are there. There's really erratic behavior. I'm not going to watch this fight, but I am drawn to what a circus this has become.
So there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this situation. One, that there's a fight in boxing that is this weekend and that basically nobody knows about because the Barclays Center is almost completely like empty. Nobody's bought tickets yet. Devin Haney, good, really good boxer. Ryan Garcia lost to Gervonta Davis after that liver shot that we saw. And since that point in his career, in his life, things have kind of gone off the rails. He's done a lot of strange, erratic stuff on social media. He's gone on spaces. He's done videos.
He was alleging that there was like some sort of hit.
There's like the CIA was after him, and that people in Bohemian Grove, the conspiracy of Bohemian Grove and all that.
He's also kind of like low-key. He's very handsome, high-key, handsome guy.
Good-looking
so
guy, yeah.
He has this stand-up around him that as anyone that's controversial these days has.
Yeah, and again, being linked with Oscar De La Hoya and his past, there have been allegations that he acts a little bit too weird for somebody who's not, you know.
Dude, he's out there selling fights, and he's at these pressers.
Trying to sell fights.
He's out there attempting to sell fights. And I've seen Mike Tyson threaten to rape press members in the audience. And I've never seen the opposing fighter be as rattled as they are when they're opposite of Ryan Garcia attempting to sell a fight, because this is like some truly off-the-wall behavior.
It's weird. It's weird. And it's not like the usual shit-talking back and forth. Oh, you suck. Oh, this, that, and the third. It's like just weird behavior. He's doing things that a normal person wouldn't do, right? He's trying to like change the way that fights get promoted, but it feels like it's not really working. And he's also a plus 575 dog. Right, so it's not like he's even that close. Not Gervonta Davis.
I don't know who this other fighter is. I barely know Ryan Garcia.
Devin Haney is a minus 910 favorite.
Okay,
as the champion,
but he was out there making $500,000 bets on like weight. I don't understand what's going on.
The
here
boxing
whatsoever.
Game, to be honest, and me and Chris were talking about this beforehand. the boxing game without a Paul in it, outside of like Tank, outside of Bud Crawford, outside of Spence, outside of like those big names, Canelo maybe.
Yeah. And now the heavyweights are taking the sideshow fights.
Right, right. And so. Ngannou, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, like outside of those couple of names, nobody's really intrigued for boxing whatsoever. No. So it feels like Ryan Garcia is trying to get over on everybody with social media, but it's just making him look like a weirdo.
But so this is how you stick out in combat sports lately. We've seen it with Colby. We've seen it with McGregor, who was not because people have been doing these things in the fight game for quite some time. They're all derivative from Muhammad Ali, really. But the new school way of doing it, everyone's kind of like at the altar of Conor McGregor. And even Jake Paul found his way, although the Paul brothers have both really mellowed out since they first burst onto the scene. This isn't actually making an impact in terms of selling fights. It's just someone having a public mental health crisis.
Alleged drug use, alleged mental health crisis. It's just a weird way to do it. And Oscar continues to say he's fine, even though we continue to see with our own eyes he's not fine.
But Oscar kept saying he was fine when he was going through
exactly.
It.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.